Welcome. Thank you all for coming. This is a council meeting, 4th of June. Thank you. 4th of June. You're all welcome to record the session if you'd like to, but please turn your phones to silent. That wasn't me. Okay, the first item on the agenda, to receive apologies for absence and a vote of acceptance.
I've had apologies received from Councillor Acker and Councillor Webster and from Councillor Parsons.
Okay, are we all happy to accept their apologies?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. To record declarations of interest, members are invited to declare any relevant interest. Notwithstanding this item, members may subsequently declare an interest at any point during the meeting. Charles, always one.
I must declare my city councillor, and also on item 26156, the 52 Dwellings East Road, I have already, as a city councillor, lodged an objection to that, so I'm, which I believe some of you have already seen, so I'm not apparently allowed to take part in that.
Yes, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Carl. Another observations? Okay, thank you for that. Public session, 3 minutes each. Who would like to speak, please? Well, Steve was the first to put his hand up. Do you want to go first?
The town council's motto is serving the community board. But when I wrote in regarding the following, the poisoning and remove of esplanade trees, the reply was basically nothing to do with us, Gov. Phone calls to the city, 28-2222. Elm Grove with the boardwalk, Coast Road Conservation Area. This is annually unlawfully cut back. Again, nothing to do with us, Gov. Phone calls to the city council, 28-2222. Tank traps. We need the council's support to have these dangerous wartime weapons removed. Again, nothing we can do, Gov. Request for life buoy rings. 17 people drowned last week. Again, nothing to do with us, Gov. It appears as far as the council is concerned, you can sink or swim, as long as you pay your £9.45 to park. If the town council is not to survive, it's going to serve the community, Gov. The sign should perhaps say, don't call us, phone 282222. When I've called on the council's front of shop, the response feels like, the answer's no, what's the question? We're too busy, phone the city. What is to do with the town council, though, is Village Green 241. The town council is the statutory authority for village greens in the parish, and the office needs to tell its partner in crime, the city council, to sling their hook. Renting out the green is unlawful, and I call on the office to make the green for the betterment of all. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Steve. David, you want to go next?
Oh, thank you. Your item, Mr. Mayor, about the Glebe project. I have actually had correspondence with the clerk this afternoon and this morning. I'm a bit concerned to approve the proceeding of the Glebe project, replacement of the existing Glebe Pavilion based on a feasibility study and agree the site location. I think possibly that should be proposed or something, you know, Glebe project, because no one's seen this project. We kept it all under wraps very carefully. I did see a copy of when they asked, well, the clerk asked me, what does the Horticultural Society want for their building? And I said, well, first of all, can you tell me where it's going? I haven't got a plan. I can't see. And she said, well, it's really just a request for our requirements. I sent in those requirements, but the plan did come back to me, and that horrified me. Because the whole lot of the pavilion, new pavilion, seems to be moving westward, right across our Horticultural Society shed, as you call it. Actually, it's a brick, solid building. We want to, you know, to know what you're intending to do to replace it, amongst other things. But what horrified me even more is that your proposed new pavilion only has one set of changing rooms. And I really can't understand how you're getting away with two sets of changing rooms to replace it with one. It doesn't seem to make logic sense to me. I know at some time you had a surveyor's report that said the building was in a pretty awful state. Well, it is, because you haven't spent any money on it for years. So inevitably, and that it would cost as much to renovate it as it was to put a new building up. I don't think that can be true. And I would have suggested that you go back to the drawing board and look at renovating your existing building and possibly extending the social side forward another 10 foot or so to give you a bigger social area if you so require it. But to put up a single new building with only one set of changing rooms seems bonkers. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Sorry, next, Ian?
Yeah, thank you. I'd just like to develop what the last member of the public said. In terms of the agenda, the item 154 is to approve proceeding with the Glebe project, and 155 is to hold a public consultation on the Glebe project. I mean, I accept this is an abridgment of perhaps what is intended, but I mean, it does appear that you are making an agreement to do something before you have held a public consultation. On 26.155 is the item to agree to hold a public consultation on the Glebe project. I consider this must be held, as it is also a requirement of the adopted community engagement policy of the council. And just make another point, if I can. The agenda of this, and this really also develops that last point, the agenda of this and other recent town council meetings again refers to other supporting schedules that are not being disclosed to the public, to enable them to provide input on them at the council meeting, which they have in the 15-minute session an opportunity to do so. The Local Government Access to Information Act 1985 requires principal councils, such as ECC and CCC, not WMCs, publish their agendas and any scheduled supporting items on those agendas with the OSA agendas. The minutes of the meeting of the item 23204 the 14th of September 2023, I raised this, and the then clerk acknowledged it is good practice to publish supporting documentation with agendas, and the council will now publish all allowable and relevant documentation. The press and public that attend meetings are again in effect being blindfolded and are not able to meaningfully comment on items on the agenda, and I'm unable to reconcile this to the earlier assurances by councillors of more openness. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian. If we haven't enclosed anything, I'm sorry, we'll see if we can't correct it.
Thank you.
Good time. Sorry.
Thanks. Okay. I don't, a lot of you on here, I know the lady there and some of you others. My husband and I owned what was Garden Cottage, which is no more, I'm afraid. But I haven't heard a word from the town council of the cause of this and many other things that are going on. It's very quiet. We had a meeting on Monday with the police and PCSO, and I think it was PC Knighton. And here's a copy. This isn't for the general public, but it's for you to see. 11 times in the past few years, Garden Cottage has been vandalised. That's without the, what are they called, the beach huts, without the bench, the fires that are occurring. There's a big silence everywhere, which is quite astounding, really, because these are local children. Some go into the primary school, they then go on to the secondary school. TLA is like a, I don't know what you'd call it, really, but they are local children with parents with businesses in this village, and they are running amok and this beautiful place. I've been coming to these council meetings since 1986. It's never been like this before, and unless something is done, the police are now stepping on it, but unless an effort is made to advertise that they will be caught and they will be punished, because it's probably about 15 local boys, children they are, that are ruining it. There's some lady's bench whose 9-year-old son was remembrance, and they've smashed that to pieces. There's old people that are being vandalised nightly, sometimes three nights a week. Walls pushed over. I mean, ours has been vandalised 11 times. They've got four people that are responsible for it, children, that I can't say too much because it's in the police hands at the moment. But I can't be the only one, and you must be aware sitting here that this is going on, and I think it's time now to step up and say, look, we've got a horde of children here that are also bringing in Monkwick TLA children of this weekend that are just laying waste to whole areas. And I just can't understand why everything on the town council is so quiet that this hasn't been brought up previously. I mean, a few years ago, probably 20 years ago, we had a lad who used to come. What's that area of Colchester, Pete?
Grinstead.
And he smashed a phone through our window. They were nicking stones from somewhere else. They broke the door. We had a brand new door put on. They've smashed our door to smithereens. God knows how they did it. Three times arson. And there's two boys that smashed the windows on the fourth. It's on there. I've got pictures of them. And they're all local people, well known.
Sorry, it's a serious subject, and I was at the meeting on Tuesday morning at the back. I did hear
right.
you speak.
Yeah.
But there were four councillors there.
I know that one lady spoke.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
and this
yeah.
gentleman here spoke.
Yeah.
But it's such a common occurrence now. They run, and I've seen pictures of them, knock down ginger, but they're knocking walls over. They're breaking walls. They're being evil.
It's not on the agenda tonight, but I think we have to pause it there. But I was at the meeting, and the two police officers were quite taken aback, I think.
I think they were.
They're coming on the 7th of July, I believe.
Yeah, but it's another daytime one, which is quite hard for people. I'm retired. I mean, you know.
We've spent
£27,000 trying to get planning on Garden Cottage for years. Yeah. Council won't have it because of an old argument I had with them. This makes no difference at all to whether it's built on or not. You know, we haven't paid taxes on that place since 1986 because
I'm going to have to stop you. We really do sympathise, but unfortunately it's not on the agenda tonight. But
on the agenda for another night then, because it's something that is going to affect you all in time.
Yes, I should be interested to see what the police say on the 7th, because they've now gone away to check everything.
Well, I wouldn't hold your breath, because I've been since the 10th and the 4th and the 12th of the month before, and I'm still waiting, and they've told me it's been decided, but they still have not come back to me.
Okay, all right. Thank you for that.
Sorry, is going to bite somebody on the bum before long.
Serious issue. But
this is a beautiful place.
Yes, we agree with you entirely.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak, please?
Yeah, thank you. Firstly, welcome to Bob as new chair. We don't always see eye to eye politically, but I do want to go on record that I respect Bob's hard work and commitment. I also want to formally express my sincere gratitude to Councillor Webster for her unstinting efforts as Mayor, and to ask Bob to uphold the improvements she's delivered, particularly in compliance and operational efficacy. Item 26156 is to discuss and agree a response to the planning application 260566. I urge councillors to reflect the sentiment of the island and object to this in the strongest of terms. It's fundamentally unsuitable, but would also create a very dangerous precedent for further speculative applications, including Colchester Road. That can't be allowed. It's a cynical recycling of the 2021 application, turned down at the time by CBC and as appeal, and it remains fundamentally unsuitable on every level. Nothing has changed. plan breaches the village boundary, overturning Dawes and Cross Lane as the natural and appropriate eastern boundary. The land is agricultural, as established in a planning precedent of October 2006, which stated that this site lies in a rural area where development other than for agricultural purposes is not normally permitted. The site provides important habitat to wildlife, including reintroduced red squirrel and protected badger. It has no part in the neighbourhood plan. The NP begins with a vision for West Mersey to maintain and enrich West Mersey as a vibrant and cohesive community, ensuring new development will be both sustainable and improve life for ourselves without prejudicing future lives for future generations, respecting the individual character of the town and protecting our natural environment. It states that land beyond the settlement boundary will be treated as countryside, and that residential development proposals in the countryside, outside defined boundaries, will need to demonstrate that the scheme respects the character and appearance of landscapes and the built environment, and preserves or enhances historic environment and biodiversity. It's a massive overdevelopment of the plot. Proposed density is three times that of the other recent new sites. It's been clearly identified by highways that the proposed road access is fundamentally flawed, totally unsuited to development, and in point of fact dangerous. The applicant claims to control sections of East Road, which they do not. There is no reference or mitigation to the flood risk of West Mersey, and no reference to the non-existent evacuation plan for the island. The island struggles already with infrastructure, particularly doctors and the primary school. This site, this proposal, contributes nothing to West Mersey, only to the greed and avarice of the developer. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. I think we all saw your article in the Courier, by the way, so we've covered the points. Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to speak? Thank you very much. We'll move on to 143 then, to receive County and City Councillors' reports. Who'd like to speak?
I can go first if you like.
Do you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, I'm Chris Pereira, obviously your Essex County District Councillor. Been in the job all of 4 weeks, I think it is now. It feels like an eon, but we are trying to get to grips with things. I suppose the main update coming out at the moment, obviously we've declared an emergency around the potholes, and obviously from my own perspective living on Mersey as well, I can see the areas of which I'd like to get updated. Obviously I've been having a quick chat with Carl. There is expressly at the moment they're looking for us to sort of put forward what roads we would like to be prioritised right now, so there's a case of they will start that. We had apparently 9 teams available previously for potholes. We've pushed that up to 12 now, so the idea is it's considered a big issue. I know just speaking from our day on polling day, actually a lady fell down on the high street opposite the polling station, and I actually talked to somebody in the Courier and I was kind of shocked. And obviously speaking previously the year before, something similar has happened again. So from my own perspective, I shouldn't really describe where I come from. My background is actually NHS. I've worked with the NHS for 17 years. And obviously on and off in different areas in the public sector, I basically advise and help improve things. And obviously understanding the costs that happen from people falling, it's horrendous. And obviously, you know, trying to stint on pavements and roads is just not a good idea for the actual well-being of everybody and even their motor vehicles. But people, the human cost is the big thing for me. So that's one of the things. And obviously, you've probably heard also we stopped the cost for the libraries as well, going through for reservation fees, which I think was a good thing. So at the moment, we're still in early days, and obviously we will do our very best to obviously try and make things better. I've been actually elected to go on the committee as chair for the Health and Wellbeing Board, and obviously one of my big things is obviously to try and sort out GPs, and especially in this island, because we're in a ridiculous state of affairs. Obviously, we're talking about planning and putting houses on, and if we haven't actually got a GP or an infrastructure, it's ridiculous. I mean, and given your demographic population on Mersey, 60% over 65s, they have a great demand on actual health and well-being and that sort of thing. We definitely need to be sorting that out, and I see that as a massive priority. So if I'm being honest, I'll be jumping up and down on the ICB guy when I get to meet him, because that's my biggest priority for you guys. So I will try and make sure I turn up for these meetings, and I will try and give an update. If I'm being really nice, it's part of the, I feel like I'm not giving you much of an update at the moment, but hopefully you get a feel that I want to progress things and actually improve things for everyone. And as I said, I've reached out to Carl. I'm open to obviously working with everyone, because as far as I'm concerned, I came in the reform ticket, but that's not what I'm about. I'm actually making it here better for everybody here, and you know, the party thing disappears now. So as far as I'm concerned, it's about getting things better for Mersey. And obviously I've got my other arm with Tiptree as well, so I've got to make sure I improve things for them too. And they have, weirdly enough, similar things, potholes and GPs. So at least it makes it easy. At least I know what I've got to do anyway. So obviously if there's any questions, more happy to take them. And that's my update.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Chris? Oh, it must be the hand. Oh, not quite in the period.
I'll be waiting for the council to be settled down, because I'm the transport representative on the island for buses.
Yeah.
So I'll be waiting for you to get settled down, because I've been pestering the two bus companies on the island for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So now I know you've all settled down, I'm now going to send you an email to find out exactly what can be done now with people being stranded in town, in city and out of the city, and reasons why the buses won't do what they're supposed to do. So
I'll
be in contact.
And I think I'll take that another step further, because you know, I've got neighbours also trying to get to the hospital and stuff like that, and I think that's a really big key thing, so more than happy to sort of pick that up as a conversation as well.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chris, and I should say congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, or is it commiserations? I'm not really quite sure.
I did say commiserations when I was talking to Carl today, I think.
I'm sure your honeymoon period will last a few weeks longer. But
maybe
not.
It looks like I've represent the city council. I must admit, Chris did it. I think he regretted it, because he got the potholes from me, but he also got strewed railings, white lining, footpaths, everything else, which hopefully we will be working with Chris to get those improvements, because coming across the island, it looks like a bomb's hit it when you look at the railings now. It's a disgrace. You can see why the people just throw rubbish everywhere, because they think, well, this is what we see. But Chris, should we work quite well? The updates from the city yesterday, there has been an administration now formed in Colchester, which is now a Conservative Liberal Democrat coalition. Over the next few weeks, it will be, they've already decided cabinet members, but the committees will be decided in the next few weeks. With everything that's going on, all moving in towards a local government reform and the shadow, well, depending on what happens at what's going with county. You've also noticed there's been the new rollout of the new refuse and recycling scheme across the whole area. It's Mersey will be getting its wheelie bins around about autumn, early spring is when they're going to come out. But as from now, everyone has to treat it as if you've got the bins all of, the glass bottles stay in the green box, the food still goes in the food caddy, but tins, paper, tetra packs, plastics all go into clear sacks. And then you leave them out for that. You don't separate them anymore. If you need assisted collection, you still apply for cultures for that, and people can still get assisted collection. The people were asking about the amount of questions I've been getting on these bins. It's phenomenal. I've had to ask so many questions. People said, I pay for the stickers where they get an extra bin bag. Well, when the wheelie bins come out, there's two wheelie bins, the black. The recycling one's 240 litres. The black one is actually 180 litres, which is what everyone gets. If you have the additional bag where you pay for the sticker, you actually get a 240 litre general waste wheelie bin. If you want to get your blue bags or the clothing collected, we found out you need to have at least 10 bags. Then you have to book it online. It seems a bit ludicrous, but there you go. But that rollout has now started as from now. And
can I just ask you something? Why they've brought this all out? They've had years. Why have they brought it out now, not after they give the boxes, the bins out? Why now?
I don't know. It's the existing administration done it. I don't know. It was, remember, we literally just changed it.
They've had years to do this, haven't they, really?
But what they're doing it for, there's been new technology where it comes to recycling, so when it goes in,
they're burning it.
No, that's the refuse. We don't know the actual waste, they've got machines that can separate the tins, the plastic.
Oh, it's not a human then?
Possibly. But so it's a big change that's going on. I also attended the meeting on Monday regarding, should we say, what's going on around the island, and I've actually got a meeting. We had a sergeant turn up as well as the police.
Not Daniel Jeffries, was it?
So, and I've got a meeting with the police inspector, who's the new neighbouring inspector for the area, to talk about this as well. When he fit in, he's new in his role, he's only been in it 3 months himself, so it's a lot of new roles. So that's a basic summary, and we'll find out exactly in the next meeting, we know exactly who's doing what. And I'd like to say thanks, Chris. We've had a good conversation of what we're all doing.
Good, thank you very much. Before we move on, I would like to propose a change of wording to 26154, which we would have to do under our standing orders SO1E and SO1G. Okay. I'd like to propose that 154 reads, to consider the feasibility study for the GLEED project and subject to public presentation, agree in principle to the proposed replacement pavilion, community building, and preferred site location. These are very early times. Are we all happy with the change of wording?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Everybody agreed? Okay. Okay, we'll move on to agenda item 26144 then, please. To confirm minutes of extraordinary meeting the 11th of May. I think actually these were agreed on the 14th of May. So I think we can.
Although there is a spelling mistake.
Yeah. Was it my name?
Yes, your name.
Yeah. I forgive her. This time.
Bottom of the Where first page.
Where's that bottom line on the first page, I think?
Oh, yes.
No, the S is right. Is it A? Is A? It should be A. Oh.
Never
got your name right
in the last
12
years or so.
Anyway, they were approved on the 14th.
Okay.
To confirm the minutes, next item 145, to confirm the minutes of the annual council meeting on the 14th of May. Has everybody read them? Yeah, one slight thing, item 133C,
yeah.
I may have been not reading this correctly, Councillor Weaver to be appointed leader. Did we actually agree that on that date?
What
was that? We may have done, but all the others were there for the first meeting. Oh, we didn't agree, did we? We didn't agree. Can I have a proposer, please?
All right.
Compelling. Oh, seconder. Oh. All in favour? Thank you. To agree and approve a list of payments. I think we've all seen those. This needs a signature from a non-bank signatory.
The payments are all made, aren't they?
The payments are all made, as far as I can see.
So I'm going to approve one.
Thank you very much. That's signing your life, I was there, really.
Like authorising money out of your account.
Moving on to 147 to provide an update from the committees. We'll start off with finance, who haven't met because we haven't had a committee, but we will have once all the chairmen are confirmed. So there'll be something to say, I think, at the next meeting. Next committee, planning?
Okay, we've had an extraordinary planning meeting on the 26th of May, mainly to consider the 102 East Road application, but unfortunately we weren't quorate when we come to consider that matter, so that wasn't decided. One other planning application was at that time, and that's all that's happened in the interim since the last council meeting. There's another planning meeting scheduled for the 29th of June.
Thank you. I think the other two committees haven't met yet. We have a new chairman of that.
Personnel.
Oh, personnel, yes. Well, the chair of personnel is not here. So.
But I can say something,
yes,
or you. Kirsty can say something. Yes, we had the initial personnel meeting. Councillor Webster was elected as chair of that committee. The only thing to report is that we have now interviewed candidates for the grounds person role. No selection made yet.
Thank you. Keep my fingers crossed with that one then. ASIS has a new chairman, but we haven't met yet.
We
met, but the committee hasn't met.
We did actually meet to elect the new chair, actually.
We did.
Agree the terms of reference, which is still yet to be done, so that's pretty much where we are.
And the Diamonds are not here tonight. Chance or here, is he? Yep, representative. Okay, working groups. Anyone like to speak on working groups? Local plan is the main one, isn't it, Sophie?
Yeah, John's not here on the local plan.
Not local plan, but
I can speak on the youth activities group, which we have formed. We are looking to hold an event at the skate park in August. We met this Monday for the first time just to go through some of those details. We are liaising with Essex Youth Workers who are hoping to come to that event, and we're hoping that this event at the skate park will help us engage with young people and perhaps get feedback about what further activities and facilities maybe needed for young people in the future. But we've got two dates in August. I'm waiting to hear back from the two key elements, the youth workers and a company that does skate demos. So we're meeting again in a couple of weeks, hopefully, once I've got the two dates, once one of those is confirmed, then we can move forward with all the other things planned for that. So I think that's it on the skate event.
Were there many people at church? Did any children arrive?
No, at this point it's about arranging the event. So we're hoping to engage with them from the event. We haven't got children coming on the working group as yet.
Thank you. Sounds a good initiative to me.
Bathing rugs?
Oh, bathing rugs.
So since the annual meeting, we have increased our membership of the working party by two members. At the last meeting, we had asked for quotes for the different parts of the logistics, the movables, the installations, transportation, repairs, insurance was the biggest one. And Kirsty and Carol have both been working hard on actually getting a definitive answer in writing, based on the fact that we were advised, I can't remember who it was. Was it you, Nigel, that said about Morden?
I think a member of the public.
So, based on that, we're trying to get absolutely definitive answer from our insurance company, and the chap responsible for our account hasn't been at work. We are carrying on working behind the scenes, and we do have our first meeting arranged.
Lovely. Okay. Smashing. Thank you. Any other working groups?
No.
Okay, representatives. Dave, you want to say anything?
Well, then you've had one update tonight straight away.
We have.
We couldn't get much more today than that. But the other one is, you probably will see the email about the transport engagement meeting on the 24th of June, which will be at the Central Baptist Church in Chelmsford, 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. I've already sent a few questions in, which you have to ask, send in before you go there, which I've sent regarding the buses stopped 3 hours before and 3 hours after, and how they treat the general public in general, the two bus companies. So I've sent that forward. Hopefully I'll get a reply on that, and when they get a reply for that, I will be attending that meeting as well.
Good.
That's 24th of...
That's 24th of June.
June, wasn't it? It's
yeah.
Not far away, is it?
No.
Thank you very much, David. Is it for representatives? Okay, well, 148 then, to receive the town clerk's report.
Okay, it's not a lot to report this time. After the last annual meeting, I've been on annual leave. And since then, we've been... and myself have been working on preparations for the final audit, which took place on Monday, which the report we're looking at tonight, which I think it was a fairly successful visit. All the actions from, there were lots of meetings before the annual meeting and going on in the background, there were lots of actions put into place, so we'll be putting those into place on. And the installation of the new play park equipment, that's due for, we've got a date now for July. They've made the repairs and now it's just waiting for the equipment to land.
Yes.
And the skate park, some repairs have been completed. We're just waiting for delivery of the grind rail, some parts to arrive, and then when that gets installed, it'll be signed off. So hopefully the repairs to the skate park will be finished and the new play park equipment, which would be a good move forward.
Absolutely.
That's where we are, really.
Lovely. Smashing. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Kirsty. We move on to 149 then, to note the final internal audit report for 25-26 and to consider its recommendations. Has everybody seen that report? Quite comprehensive. When does the public session start to have access to these reports?
Well, I send the AGOR off.
Yeah.
We're just waiting for Monday for the RFA to return. Once the report's all sent, then the certificate for the public to look at the accounts gets published, so it'll be in the next few days.
Okay.
That notice will go up on the website with the AGOR and with the audit report.
Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So if there's anyone wishes to come in and examine any papers or talk to the RFO or to Kirsty or me even, then that would be fine. Okay, shall we look through the report? There's an action point for us on B1, or first bullet point. Is that something, Nigel, you can have a look at? Freedom of information policy?
I need three.
Are you in publication policy? The
publication
scheme
yeah.
at the moment is based on the model from the NALC, which
yeah.
we just need to fit in so we make it so it's appropriate for West Mersey Town Council.
Okay. Yeah, well, I can have a look at it.
We'll go through it the next finance meeting, but we keep you come prepared for it. It would be good. There's nothing else on the first page. I ticked everything. It's very comprehensive. On the second page, it wasn't highlighted in blue, but there was a comment about the edge transaction number allocated to by the system might be useful. Well, I don't know if it is or not, but we can discuss that, can't we? With Paula, the IFO. There's a comment about a technical issue to do with the NEP fees. On the next page, something we need to look at probably in finance in some detail. I will suggest a couple of other changes under business continuity. Holding reserves will help to fund actions, but the council could have plans related to dealing with cyber attacks, systems backups, alternative work and meeting venues, etc. I thought we'd actually covered that, but perhaps we haven't.
Not in detail, I don't know.
I just want some more detail.
Yeah, that's fine. So we can look at that. Under litigation, I would suggest mitigating action needs to include having robust processes in place for contract management. We'd agree with that, wouldn't we? And appointing specialists where appropriate in the early stages of project development. That's a good comment. And comment on red squirrels being included in our council's biodiversity policy, which is entirely reasonable. A comment on budgetary controls. She believes that, the internal auditor believes that we need to combine our reserves policy with our 3 to 5 year strategy.
As I mentioned, the strategic aims policy, which we do have up on the website.
Yes, she missed that we had agreed the strategic aims authority, so we'll pick that up with that. Okay, thank you. But she does make a valid point, and I have in fact rewritten that, and we'll discuss that at the next finance meeting. Income controls, there's a technical issue with parking income in the accounts, which is fine. So little blue ink. And that was it. So it was really a very good report. Does anyone have any comments on it? I think we can probably record that we will look at all the points at the finance in detail, and I think we should thank the internal auditor for a very thorough and comprehensive report, which I'm glad to say was very much in our favour. Financial year 1st of April 2025 to the 31st of March 26, to consider and approve Section 1 of the Annual Government Statement, the AGAR, for 25-26. Again, has everybody looked at this? Section 1. This is not ticked, this is for
us to
approve, so let's look through this. It is a very important document, this AGAR, so we just need to take a little bit of care, make sure we know what we're doing. We either agree or say no to the following. We have put in place arrangements for effective financial management during the year and for the preparation of the accounting statements. Well, I think that's most definitely a tick. Does everyone agree?
Yes.
We maintain an adequate system of internal control, including measures designed to prevent and detect fraud and corruption and review its effectiveness. Well, we certainly have robust systems. Has anyone any further comment?
No.
So we can accept that.
Yes.
We have assured ourselves that there are no matters of actual or potential non-compliance with laws, regulations and proper practices, and could have a significant financial effect on the ability of the authority to conduct its business or manage its finances. Well, as I thought, we complied with that more than fully. We provided a proper opportunity during the year for the exercise of electors' rights in accordance with the requirements of the accounts and audit regulations, which I'm sure we did for last year. Yep. We should be doing so again this year, so that's a tick. 6, we maintained throughout the year an adequate and effective system of internal control of the accounting records and control systems.
Oh, you missed out 5.
Did I miss out 5? Sorry. 5, we carried out an assessment of the risks facing this authority and took appropriate steps to manage those risks, including the introduction of internal controls and or external insurance cover where required. Well, I think we went through it all last time in some detail.
We definitely have. Yes.
So we definitely have. 6, we maintained throughout the year an adequate and effective system of internal audit of the accounting records and control systems. But everybody sees an update to our budget each month to see exactly where we are financially, and the RFO keeps a very close eye on all of this, so I think that's a tick. 7, we took appropriate action on all matters raised in reports from internal and external auditor. which we have done, which is acknowledged.
Last year's external audit isn't completed, is it? So we haven't had comments from them.
No, last year...
We've done what we have in terms of the...
What they've said so far. I think it's still a yes.
But I think it is a yes.
Yeah, but we haven't received a final audit report.
Final audit report from last year yet?
No, not the year before. It's a bit like the American economy.
The year before?
Yeah.
Yeah, 23, 24.
Before they can clear the year after.
We considered whether any litigation liabilities or commitments, events and or transactions occurring either during or after the year end have a financial impact on the authority and where appropriate have included them in the accounting statements. I'm absolutely certain that Paul has done all of that, so I think we can tick that one. 9 I think is not applicable. And 9, 10, we have arrangements in place for the effective IT and data management in accordance with proper practices during the year under review. Again, I think that's a tick.
We went
through this at the last meeting, didn't we?
Yes, we have.
So that's a tick. I think it's just left for me to sign that and for you to sign that.
Do we need to
Paula
vote?
Has signed her, hasn't she?
Are we to vote on this, or?
Yeah, we've got to vote on it next. So, are we all in favour of? Can I have a proposal that we accept Section 1 as agreed?
I propose it.
Seconder? Okay, thank you. All in favour? Thank you very much. To consider and approve Section 2. Of the annual government statement 25-26. Well, this was gone through very carefully with the internal auditor and our RFO, and all these figures were agreed. Has anyone any questions on them? Okay. Can we have a proposal that we accept the accounting statements in Section 2?
I will
propose. Thank you, Nigel. Seconded. All in favour? Thank you. Thank you. 3, to ensure that the accounting statements are signed by the chairman. I have just signed them. Can I just ask Kirsty, there are still pages to fill in here, but we'll do that.
No. That's just...
to say that you've...
That's just a checklist.
Yeah, but they do need to be ticked, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, on that page. Yeah. But not signed. Thank you, everybody. That's a very good agar. It should be fine with our external auditors, all being well. We'll see if it takes them a couple of years to sign it off this time. Mm-hmm. Thank you. 151, to approve the council meeting dates for 2027, with the remaining dates to be agreed at the annual meeting 27th of May, and in May 27. Last year, we put all the dates in for this calendar year. The trouble with doing that is that if we change the council in May or we change the mayor in May, then the dates may not be suitable. So I propose going up to the 13th of May, which is the next annual meeting. And the dates are listed here: 14th of January, 11th of February, 11th of March, 15th of April, town meeting, 13th of May, which will be a week or so later than the election. Are we all happy with those dates?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Put those on the website, I think.
Okay, so I propose that we accept those dates.
Seconded?
I'll second it.
All in favour?
Mm. Yep.
Thank you. Thank you, Nigel. To review and agree, item 152, to review and agree the updated rules and regulations for Feldeview Cemetery. Everybody read these?
Yep.
Yeah. I think my only observation was that they probably need a date on it, that's all.
Yes, it needs a date on that.
Needs a date on it, doesn't it?
Well, I assume this will be published on the website anyway, so it needs the approved date, approved at whatever council.
Yes, so you'll need a little June box at the top, won't
it?
Yeah.
June 26th.
Yeah. I take the items in red of where we've made a change.
Yeah. Seems entirely sensible.
Yeah.
Avoid pollution, make sure everything is biodegradable. And
well, it is.
Yeah, because it's
it
a wooden set.
It's a wooden cemetery, isn't it?
Yeah. A few other things that we could talk about in the year for next year, but I'm happy to propose those.
You happy to propose it?
I'll beat Nigel to that one.
Would anyone like to second it other than Nigel?
I'll keep it.
Are we all in favour?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll propose it.
You're right, second it.
Right, okay. Item 153. To review the draft risk assessment and associated risk management proposals from the Glebe Feasibility Report. Has everybody read this document?
Clear, this is a report produced by the clerk as part of her duties. So I just asked, can we date it as well and put your name to it? Just for future reference.
I've got a few observations, but does anybody want to go first?
No, go. You go first, please. I haven't got anything to say actually particularly.
Right, just in the heading then in that case. Proposed construction of replacement sports pavilion at the Glebe with a multi-purpose building, or including a multi-purpose building. Grants now depend upon it being a multi-use building. It cannot be just a sports pavilion. Item 8 on here, failure to appoint a competent project manager leads to poor project control, delays and overspend. Well, at some point we are going to have to vote on a project manager, but that's not for today. But I do have a question here. as the fees are likely to exceed £30,000, we will need to go out to tender on it. Perhaps we can have a word about that later on, but it doesn't change what it says here. But we need to just make sure we're handling this correctly.
Number 9, actually, I've noticed.
Number 9,
established project rule, should that be committing your...
Well, project board is not the right word for us, is it?
No.
No. We call them working groups, don't we?
Well, it could be it could be a working group, or it could be a committee.
Or a committee.
Change the committee?
Yeah, do we ever change our standing orders to do that, or our financial record to do that?
I don't think so.
No,
okay.
I think so.
Okay.
Well, as long as we agree to set up a committee, that's fine.
Can I just ask a question? If it's a committee rather than a working group, is there any difference on members of the community being part of it? Because I think we had a conversation at one point saying we should have community representatives.
Well, certainly over the years, committees have invited people from outside.
Okay, yeah.
And so I think the answer to that is
yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Just wanted to check.
The answer to that is yes.
It could still stay as a working group. We've got a report back to the council. you certainly have a lot more flexibility with a working group. Remember, if you have a committee, you're adding an extra committee to the council when you're trying to limit it to four.
Oh, that's true as well.
The working group can still, it's just that the working group should possibly have a lead where the councillors have a say. Because the full council on any project this size, it should be a full council.
Yeah,
so we should be doing finance. So I believe a strong working group.
Although working groups can't have any delegated responsibilities, you know, can't spend money, can't make decisions.
That's what the council will do. That's the point. The working group will then have to do regular reports.
Yeah, exactly. Come back to the council, but whether that's an efficient report or not. But anyway, it's something we decide in the future.
I hope the project manager's in charge of it here, be the one that we're doing the main liaison with that. I think a strong working group for that might be.
Yeah, I had a working group in mind, but you're quite right. Project board is not the terminology that we use.
Yeah,
we're all happy that we changed that to working group at this time.
Yeah, as I say, mainly because the size of the project, I believe it's going to have to be full council that decides on that rather than a committee.
But there will be quite a lot of work to do on it.
Yeah.
So,
eventually, yes.
Thank you, Nigel. We'll change that. I think it was mentioned somewhere else as well, Minna. The mitigation program works around sporting calendar where possible, provide temporary accommodation. I think we better not commit ourselves to doing too much of that, that could be expensive. To provide temporary accommodation in conjunction with the clubs, maybe, if necessary and affordable. Yeah, I know. What do you think?
I think if I remember rightly, the teams were keen to have it done and they were going to help with temporary accommodation.
I think they were. So let's just change that wording.
Mm.
Provide temporary accommodation in conjunction with the clubs,
mm.
yes, if necessary and affordable.
Mm.
In other words, I think it just covers us, doesn't it? I did wonder whether there were two other risks we should be aware of at this stage. These really come after the building is built and finished and in operation, but they will be ongoing costs. So one, I think, and we may not agree on this, insufficient resources, this is the risk, insufficient resources to manage day-to-day running of a community building, for example, provision of a manager. These are costs because we won't expect the clubs to run it as they do at the moment because it will be a community building. So we probably have to have a part-time manager. So it's just a risk that we need to mitigate, but I think it's a low risk. But we just need to think about mitigation for that. Are we all happy with adding that just so we've covered it in our thinking? The next one I wrote down, and it is a risk, but I think it's extremely low risk. The sports clubs and any other association that may be using it becoming financially unviable and unable to meet their annual rent commitments. And I think that's a low risk. But I'm aware of something that John Jarvis said a few meetings ago. He had a doctor's surgery built in Tiptree.
Mm.
But he couldn't get any doctors. So it suddenly became a community hall. So there's a risk he didn't think was going to happen. And I don't think it's going to happen here either.
No, it's a very low risk because, say, the sports association, whoever they are, MISA or whatever it is at that time, went bankrupt and didn't pay their bills, would still be the demand from the football players and the football teams. You'd still get the income by hiring out for a day or hourly.
Yeah,
so
but it would increase our management
costs.
Yes,
it would increase the management
costs,
but the income stream could still be there.
Yeah. So I think it is extremely low risk, but it's something you just need to be aware of, that we need to fill the place and it remain full afterwards.
No problem with putting more sections in
I've got more and more worried as I look through this. But we're here to be brave, aren't we? Funding dependency risk. I wrote this earlier on, I can't remember my writing, but it's actually not surprising. Really. Yes, this is something that one of the members of the public mentioned earlier on. It was before my time, but a previous town councillor here mentioned, and Nigel found the papers, that in 2009 the pavilion, as it is, was considered unfit for use. And there were plans drawn up in 2009 for a two-storey building, which funds could not be achieved. And here we are all these years later, we still have a building that's not fit for purpose. So I think we need to take into consideration that if we don't act in some way or another, then we are just kicking this tin down the road for another council to pick up. So I think the council should therefore take into consideration that failure to act at this time would involve ongoing extensive costs in maintaining a building that is no longer fit for purpose. Which is really why we're doing all this. I can give you all this later.
Okay, thanks.
Under recommendation, the last section, undertake full due diligence, including planning permissions. I think it probably means they're planning permissions. Surveys, affordability assessments, or procurement advice committed to. Construction. Has anyone else any comments on this risk assessment?
Got a few which I'll send to Kirsty. Another thing which I think you can understand is council turnover risk.
Yes.
That people on the group, there's election made, who's going to stay on it, the working group is going to be on it. It's getting, like I say, back to the group, it's getting the terms of reference very, very tight. And keeping it very focused so it doesn't just all go off and be duplicated. So if people take over, they've got something to follow through.
Yeah.
It is important to get this on. As I mentioned before, the funding on the 106 that was going on there is nearly 4 years old already, and we know that they've put timescales on this. A certain developer will definitely try and possibly claw it back
yep.
the way they behave. So there's obvious, but I'll actually send obvious the clerk for you to look at, because I think it's going to be a dynamic document when it comes to risks, because they always are.
Yeah, I'm sure that's right. It says here to review the draft assessment, which we've done, and associated risk management proposal from the Agreed Feasibility Report. Well, we have reviewed it. Can I just ask, is everybody happy that we accept this risk assessment and move forward? Is anybody any objection to that?
I'm happy to propose that on the fact, because any risk is a dynamic risk. Things can change, so it'd be a document that'd be regularly updated within the council.
Okay.
Thought, so.
We can't agree on that, though, can we? Because we haven't put it in.
We
said we're
just reviewing.
We reviewed it.
Well,
we
have
reviewed it. I'm happy to say we reviewed that.
Yeah.
And maybe it might be a notice that make a point that it will be reviewed.
Yeah. Okay. It's important document. We need to pay close attention to it. Thank you. Well, 154, the next item on the agenda. Has been reworded to consider the feasibility study for the Glebe project, subject to public presentation, and agree in principle to the proposed replacement sports pavilion / community building and the preferred location. Now, it is important that this council is behind this project. It's a long way to go. We are going to present it, or we call it a consultation or presentation, to all interested stakeholders. But I believe that we have to do something. We can't kick this can down the road any longer. We need to do something about this. So has everybody read the feasibility report?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This was a report that we commissioned some time ago, but just before Christmas. It's been very thorough. It does list the costs quite clearly. It does list the available funds or the funding possibilities, which we have discussed. It does give us a plan, which is in two phases. Phase one is 1.2 million estimated. Phase two would give us more changing rooms, but they're not affordable at the moment. Not unless anyone can conjure up £1 million or two at this point in time. So it is a two-phase project. It will have to be discussed with the clubs, and that's hence the presentation and the consultation, which we'll move on to the next item on. But are we all agreed around the table here that this is something that we do need to take forward?
I do. Mm. I think everyone does.
Okay.
We need to propose, and I propose the fact that it is a project that needs to be looked and pushed forward.
Okay. Do we have a seconder for that?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we all in favour?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
But are we to decide where it's going to be sited?
It does say that, doesn't it?
Is that a given?
I think it will form part of the consultation / presentation. Does anyone have any views on where it should be cited?
I think it'd be a good idea to, like I say, put it out, let people have a look and see what their thoughts are.
Yeah, because the costs wherever they are will be very similar. Wherever it's positioned will be fairly similar.
Certain advantages and disadvantages in both ways of doing it. The advantage of a new position would be that the old building stays and the clubs can carry on as normal without disruption to them.
Yes.
There's a risk removed there. But then it comes back down to the utilities, the water, where it's all going to go.
And the availability of the land.
And what, sorry?
If it's proposed that it could be put on CL2, that isn't due to be handed over until 60 properties are occupied on Dawes Lane
site.
It could
be a good number of years, couldn't it?
Is that unknown?
Unknown, yes.
Time frame, isn't it?
That's a question that could be asked to develop, but it's getting through it, aren't it?
Yeah. I think more important would be what the clubs have to say about it.
Exactly.
Okay, so the location is subject to the presentation / consultation, which we'll come on to next. Are we all happy with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you. So 155, to approve to hold a public consultation on the proposed Glebe project, including a presentation format and consultation. There will be a number of stakeholders here, one of whom has spoken this evening. Haven't you, David?
Mm-hmm.
We've got a few holidays coming up. I don't want to hold this off any longer than absolutely necessary. We just need to think what we need to do. We had a presentation a little while back, did we not? Which I was on holiday for, but we had all sorts of plans presented.
Well, the last proposal, you mean?
Yeah, the last proposal, yes.
There was, yeah, I wasn't here then. But,
No. I think we need big boards, do we not? We need to invite as many stakeholders as we possibly can. We need to invite the public. But this is not a discussion on what to do with the Section 106 money or anything else, because that is for this project. So if this project does not go ahead, the Section 106 money goes back to the developers. So we do need to do something. How do we move this one forward? Do you have any ideas on this
one? We basically need a proposal date and actually a location, or be really radical to get people involved, do the presentation, as a team, as a Zoom meeting, where slides and presentations, and then let people, can be hard to manage, but
yes. Maybe do both.
Or try and do both.
Yeah. You might
hybrid
get more
version.
Engagement.
Yeah, so people can see the physical ones, but people can actually see a presentation.
Okay, well, I think we therefore need to speak to MISA, don't we? Because they're the current occupants of the building, and see if we can get a date.
Yes.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, but we also need to do some pre-publicity to get the members of the public, so we put something in the local press.
Yeah. Well, let's get a date first, and that will focus people's minds.
Yeah, but bearing in mind the publication dates of the...
Yes.
Maximise that, it looks like it was got around for about 6 weeks' time, because that gives a Courier and the Life magazine, the local papers.
Or, I believe, last time it was done, the clerk got some 4,000 postcards printed and got them delivered to each house on the island.
Okay.
With an invitation to a presentation.
Does it need to be that?
Well,
spread around?
Well, I would have thought that's every household on the island, isn't it, who it affects.
Life and Courier both go to...
No, I know, but it's just quicker to do the postcard, that's all.
I think they did that, it's because they did miss a publication, so they'd done the cards.
Even so, you only got 1% of them turning up, but at least they were all told.
Okay.
About second week in July, would that be a good time to try?
I think it would. Let's talk to the clubs and make sure that's okay.
So
I think second week in July
week.
Sounds a good idea to me.
That
we've got the plans, we've got the drawings, we've got the feasibility study. Do we put it on our website?
I believe we should, but obviously redacted in some way, some of it, if you think it's necessary. I don't know if you want to put this entirety on there, the plans certainly. And the rationale, but I don't know if you want to put a poll up. But anyway, yes, up to the clerk.
Is there anything here that you wouldn't want the public to see at this stage?
I think all we should do really is put a site location plan on the actual proposed building plans. I agree, Nigel. You don't think you put anything else on there?
I think I'd agree with that.
So, what would you like on?
Basically, the plans.
The plans and the site.
The site
where it is.
But not anything
information.
But we can go through that at the time, can't we?
Is there just one site?
The trouble is, at the moment, because this might be going out to tender, the last thing we want to do is contracts look at that and think they're going to expect, because I've already, as you know, queried the costs. I work in this industry, and I think some of the costs on there, I think, wow. You see why projects cost so much, really, because
although that was maximum worst case scenario prices we've got in there.
Probably
I agree, we don't want to put
on. We shouldn't put it on
because it will influence
financially
future.
Sensitive. Yeah. What we'll do, this is what we're looking at, and then see what people can come up with.
Yeah.
So the proposal or the potential layout or the
plans
first
and layout,
the draft one layout, and the site being. One at the moment, or alternatively,
so basically it's the drawing. Isn't it?
It's the drawing,
Can I just ask, because I've been involved in one of these consultations before? So, the idea is you book a venue, you have your information ready, members of the public, sports associations, community groups, all invited to come along and have their say.
Yeah.
How do we record their say, their thoughts? How do we collate that?
Do we have a form that maybe they fill in?
We did this before at the Glebe, didn't we?
Yes, a form. A form has to be formulated
with a drop
so people can write comments.
Yes.
And then collated.
Mm.
I don't know what question. They can just be a blank and you ask them to write their comments or
observations on the layout, observations
or you could ask them
citing.
The last one had questions like, if this was built, would you use it more than you use the present one? That if you want to go that far.
Okay, I didn't see the last one.
Well, I didn't either, but I've read the documents since.
I think what would be good, Chair, as possible, is to get a survey done on Facebook where people can fill in forms on Facebook, which can be collated, which I think you can do. And I'm more than happy to try and propose a form to circulate to everyone to have a look at, like you say, for a printed copy, and then try and do a Facebook version.
And council website could have a form.
Could do the links in for that survey. I'm happy to work.
And make a slideshow of anything you're going to have on the night, a slideshow that goes on the website for people that can't get there on the night and prefer to do everything online. Lots of people do.
The project is at early stages, so we haven't got hugely detailed stuff, but we do have some plans.
I would suggest moving forward as quickly as possible, because when you look at the proposed dates for the build,
we're already behind. We're
behind already.
Highly optimistic, weren't they? Highly optimistic. Councils don't live that sort of way, do you? Too many hurdles across.
All I'll just say is the 8 Ash Green, their village hall.
Yeah.
Project done, start finished, 8 months. Oh. We'll leave it at that. So it is possible.
But, well, let's build a village hall then.
Similar project.
No,
it's slightly different style.
I've been slightly facetious, but they've got to demolish something, and this has got much more. Internal site.
They did different. They used to demolish. I'm just saying the projects.
Yeah, I don't think we'll manage 8 months.
I don't think so. Be slightly bigger out. I'll just give it an option.
Do we need to compare? If we're looking at days, do we need to look at what meetings we've got scheduled as a council?
Well, let's talk to MISA first and make sure they haven't got competitions on or something like that. But one evening or an afternoon and an evening, maybe midweek.
Evening, midweek, I'd suggest.
Well, the football season's over, and so is the rugby season, so it shouldn't have too much.
Shouldn't have, it'll be cricket, won't it?
Could be cricket.
I think so.
Because then people can see.
They can see the context.
Yeah,
anyway.
Those games can't start till 11 o'clock at night.
Holiday games, it might be on 23rd, 23rd, be good dates.
Who's away then?
Sheriff and me.
Definitely not those.
I'm also away tonight.
That's where Teams comes in then.
Exactly.
Yeah, well.
So for this particular agenda, we're going to approve to hold the public consultation. I'm going to contact MISA to agree
a date
in the second week in July, preferably
somewhere
midweek in the evening.
Yeah.
And that's where we're
at. Okay. Carla's going to draft a form up. We're going to look at getting A4.
Preparation.
A2 or A1 drawings, which we can probably get from PCH.
Yeah.
Yeah. And anything else they might suggest as a presentation. Well, it does say to approve to hold a public consultation. So, can I have a proposal for that?
I'm happy to propose that.
Seconder, Sophie, all in favour? Thank you very much. 156 to discuss and agree proposed a response to planning application. 260566102 East Road.
Do you want me to go over there?
No.
I shouldn't have done that.
Well,
everyone's...
I think everyone's...
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. You're going to kick off?
I'll just kick off. I just want to get everyone's opinions. Do they object or approve of this application?
I don't approve of it.
No. I don't approve.
I don't approve.
Okay, so we are going to object to it.
We
okay,
are going
so
to object to
it. The case of the wording
yes.
is put in. Okay.
Yes.
I have some wording that I've prepared just in case that was the outcome. Do you want me to read it out?
Please.
Or stay? Oh, well, I can. Okay. 260566, outline application for demolition of existing dwelling and erection of 52 new dwellings, land at Huntington East Road, West Mersey. West Mersey Town Council objects on the following material planning grounds. This application is not plan-led, the site is not allocated in the adopted Colchester local plan, nor a preferred option in the draft's new local plan. There are no substantial changes from the previous application, 201467, which was refused and the subsequent appeal dismissed. This application conflicts with adopted housing strategy for West Mersey, contrary to West Mersey Neighbourhood Plan, WM2, Local Plan SG2 and SS12A. The proposed site is situated in open countryside outside the adopted settlement boundary of West Mersey, conflicting with WMP, West Mersey Neighbourhood Plan, WM1, Local Plan ENV1, OV2, SG1, SG2 and SP3. The proposed development would be visually intrusive and adversely affect the rural landscape outside the settlement boundary. This conflicts with WM, West Mersey Neighbourhood Plan. I'm sorry, I've missed the section out there. WM21, Local Plan ENV1. The density of the proposed development at 30 dwellings per hectare is not in accordance with the surrounding area, which has a density of approximately 20 dwellings per hectare. This would cause harm to the character and appearance of the rural setting and introduce a hard edge to the settlement boundary, contrary to the DM15 local plan DP1 SG1. The proposed development is within the coastal protection belt. It would be detrimental to conserving nearby heritage assets and landscape character, contrary to local plan ENV2. The proposed access to the development site raises significant highway safety concerns. East Road is a busy road with restricted width in this area. Residents frequently park cars on the road in this facility, and there are often vehicles parked due to overflow from the Fox car park. The proposal does not demonstrate control over the required visibility displays of 2.4 metres times 43 metres at the access point, contrary to local plan DM21, West Mersey Neighbourhood Plan 12. Additionally, the application incorrectly states that there are half-hourly local bus services. The routes currently serving the nearby bus stop are hourly with regular longer intervals due to high tides covering the only access road to Mersey Island. We can write more, but I think that covers the main material planning points.
Yes, they're all planning points, aren't they? I mean, you haven't mentioned the lack of doctor's surgery or...
I think that's been mentioned many times.
Many times.
It's not a material planning consideration,
no.
As we know.
No.
I mean, if anyone wants to reword it or whatever, but that's my suggested wording.
Well, I read through Councillor Powling's report on the portal, which was very thorough and picked up an awful lot of the points that you've already covered. I also read Groundhog Day, so I think those points are also covered. Christy, do you want to add something?
Yeah, just respectfully, environmental impact I think is very important, both the flood risk and to the local wildlife.
Happy to add that?
I can try and add that, yeah.
Thank you.
Has the date been extended?
Carol tells me she's agreed an extension.
She has agreed an extension?
Yes.
Okay. Is that in a form that that we can now send it straight off?
When I add...
Well, that could be sent in words to Carol.
I'll send it to Kirsty.
Yeah. We've got a few days to send it off, haven't we?
Another week.
Okay. Are we all happy that it goes in the format? We've already voted on objection, so are we all happy with the format?
Yeah.
Happy with the format. Okay, thank you. Well, that completes the agenda for tonight.
Thank you. Sorry.
Where have we gone?
If you voted for what when you objected?
No, we didn't actually vote,
I asked
the opinion.
So you need to vote that you're going to send the response through to object.
Well, yes, we did vote on objection that we were going to object. So
I don't think we did vote on that. We actually just agreed amongst ourselves.
Yeah, right.
So we do need to vote.
Yeah. What have we voted on?
We need to propose in a second that you're going to object to the planning.
I'm happy to propose that we object.
And use the wording as suggested.
And second
I'll do it.
Are we all in favour? Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you very much. That closes the meeting then at 8:25. Thank you so much. And thank you for the public for joining us tonight. And thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Are you going to stay a couple of minutes and talk to the councillors? I'm sure you'd love to.
So I'm happy for a few
So we don't need new seat pads.
I was reading that actually, I found that interesting.
We haven't actually decided. We actually haven't decided to replace it, actually.
Yeah.
We defer that one.
At least there's a chance.
How are you joining your arm?
Interesting.
Interesting. It comes a lot.
To be fair, though, I suppose it's a bit easy. I think if you've worked inside, the other side, it's not quite like a real shock.
Thank you for your time.
Some of the other people, I think they found it a bit weird, like the book. Obviously, understanding the politics, but weirdly, as you work in the organisation, the politics is just as hard. So actually, for me, this is always keep a low profile. You know what we have to do, keep things interesting. But I really want to get into the ICB because for me, I just think we've had a health and wellbeing plan put forward, and for the next 5 years. But if you ain't got GPs, then it means you might as well stick it in the bin, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's what we found here in Mersey. All over the years, it's because the doctors, basically being private companies, are taking on the financial risk by moving into a new surgery, and they don't often want to do that.
So, I mean,
can I ask you a question?
Please?
Sure. With the ICB and healthcare, etc., will that involve adult social care as well?
Yes, so they have to because it's interlinked, you can't. What's the best way of my understanding about social care is obviously what we tend to find in the biggest issues, my background from NHS going into centre of social care, there's always this thing that where the ICBs always go where it's adult social care and vice versa, that's continuing health care, so there's always a bit of an issue around there. So one of these things where I call the pass the parcel, the exploding hand grenade in it, and everybody's just trying to pass the buck. Which I think what I'll be trying to do is try and make it work, because at the moment, there's a lot of things I've seen change through from the health side. Adult social care is hugely expensive, but I don't think from the healthcare side, I don't think they're helping. Because I don't know if you know, like 10 years ago, they got rid of a lot of community health hospitals that support there. So where you'd have rehab with people coming out of hospital, trying to get them home, that's kind of fallen off a bit of a cliff, and what's happening, they're going straight into care homes and things like that, and actually they're poorer for it as well. So I worked my first 7 years of working in NHS, I worked in a community hospital basis in Avering, and they had one of the biggest older populations, and they actually scrapped all the beds like 10 years ago, and then they're wondering why Queens has got people on corridors and stuff, and my mum ended up on a corridor, so I actually did a bit of research and I actually found the population jumped by 50,000, which was a 20% jump. And you probably know district nursing cover the over 65s and getting the time stuff. That actually gone down by 5%. And they're thinking, and they're sort of saying, we're doing all these different plans. A lot of the plans they've put in has been pretty crap, I'll be honest. I mean, probably people won't say that because it's not what everybody expects to hear, but the failure on the NHS side, and even to a certain point, I would say also there's adult social care, there's a failure as well.
it's going to be interesting.
It's
going
hard to get moving, isn't it? Really,
yeah.
Is, especially when it comes to dementia care.
Yeah, well, that used to sit within. That's the worst thing. I ran community services. We had a budget of 91 million. We had all the specialist nursing around from dementia, continence, all that stuff, and that has kind of dissipated. The support's kind of gone. It's nowhere near as good as what it once was. And it's really tough because that was NHS commissioners changing all that because they thought it was a perceived saving, and it's not.
Yeah.
It's whack and well.
You're behaving out there.
That's how I got the pen in the first place.
I mean, to be fair, I think the thing is obviously, if we can get the GP sorted out, I've got people, friends who are GPs, so I've put together a plan of what we can do. Obviously, it'll be for the whole of Essex, but the idea is targeted here as well. And it's a bit like the old Doc Martin strategy of, we need single-handed ones. We need to maybe look at changing how we do it. And I've discussed this with my GP friend this morning, and he thinks it's something we could do. But obviously, it's getting the ICB on board. And there are, what's really annoying is, there are GPs out there. But we don't have to put them into partnership. You could take them as salary GPs. And we could look at, and it's just turning the problem on its head and doing something a bit different, which, not wishing to be horrible, there's plenty of people out there that just don't do it, you know. I mean, I recently worked down in Portsmouth advising them on they were struggling with nurses, and it's changing how you think. So I advised them, I tell you what, we looked at the schools, we looked at the area, fantastic place to live in Portsmouth, would you believe? I was quite surprised, you know, they've got grammar schools, all that sort of thing. I said, they were struggling, their agency bills through the roof. I said, well, why don't you buy some houses? They're going, well, why? I said, buy 4 or 5 houses. Tell you what you do is you encourage the nurse to come and live rent-free for the first year. And, you know, and the idea is at the end of that year, if they wish to stay, then they obviously then have to sort their own accommodation. But obviously, you still help them with that. And they were going, well, it's just not affordable. And I said, if you look at your agency bill, it's well within the affordable limits, you know, what you're spending. They could have easily done it. But it's just like, that's not something how we think. That's not what we do. So that's what I'm trying to bring, is something a bit different. And
yeah.
So a bit of lateral thinking.
Yeah,
for change.
You know, how do you get to an answer? You know, I've been used to sitting there in rooms and stuff, but I've seen the waste. I've seen the money. I worked with the police recently. You'd be shocked. They're still doing their police uniforms on pieces of paper, older forms, you know, and it's then somebody's punching it in. I saw overtime forms on paper. I've seen expenses on paper. And there's people still punching.
Should see the mental health team in Colchester.
Well, you'd be surprised. The NHS is probably a more advanced than most of the other organisations, which will scare the pants off of you. And that's what you'll find really shocking. So, yeah. I mean, I worked with the DHSC, and that was the best one I ever saw, was we brought all these lateral flow devices into the country. We were putting all these massive warehouses and everything like that. They brought a new computer system. And it sounds like a lot of money, but he wouldn't spend £400,000 on a stock system. They sent in hundreds of people counting the stock every 6 months, that, you know, and you kind of think, whoa, you could have just had the thing where you just clicked. They lost stuff went out of date, so well, we saw what we got written off. We wrote off about £2 million worth of stuff because we didn't know where it was. And that's people, you don't get told that sort of stuff, but when you see it, it's just shocking. So that's sort of, there's plenty of waste in there. So everybody keeps saying we need more money. No, actually, you just need to learn some of the stuff from a bit better. So that's what I'm hoping to bring. Obviously, and as I said at the start, I would say I'm not political, really. I probably used reform to get into the seat I got in, but I just because I suppose I wanted to make a change, and that's all I'm trying to do is make things better. And obviously, because I'm a Mersey, like the rest of you, I definitely want to make it better here, because can't be just having 2 GPs, not with your population, it's just not good enough. Is it 2 or 3 now? I'm not really too sure now.
Yeah, they've got several
well, I think those
trainees
people,
there as well.
Patients who are on the list are probably okay.
Yes,
the service
exactly.
is good, people are pleased with it. But to have to go to Roehidge and Tiptree and Malden...
I think it's Roehidge apparently just shutting
it
up.
I think they're
closed.
So...
I had somebody in the other day who was in tears because they'd bought the house, hadn't realised.
Hadn't realised.
The doctors.
I think one of my neighbours said that one of the GPs is retiring.
One's left recently.
So yeah, it's a serious issue, but anyway.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure you'll be very busy in your new role.
Yeah, what's your inbox like at the moment?
It's about. I'm sure it's going to get worse, because I was actually thinking it seems a bit quiet.